the Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit today. We can just come and be with Him and with each other. Enjoy all His goodness that He gives unto us. We just thank Him that He is a mighty God. It's just amazing that God is so good, that He loves us so much and we can love Him so much, that we can join Him and fellowship with Him and be with Him. We thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just a second here. We'll just kind of just sit here and just thank God for the goodness, His goodness. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, I see that. Oh. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. You know, sometimes even when you're speechless, it's good because you can just sit, be in His presence. Just come and let His glory manifest in our lives. His presence be here. Just that we can join Him in worship and praise, and glorifying Him and honoring Him. We can just come to spend time with God and enjoy as a body of believers, just to be here with Him and each other. It's good. You know, it's so many things to realize really how blessed we are with God. Don't even comprehend how good He is. You know, I can't tell you how it can break your heart for working with mentally disabled people and seeing the pain they're going through and the hurts, and they still got a smile on their face. They still, you know, and then here I am. God, why me? Why am I having all these struggles in life? And He says, no, I'm with them. I'm with you. You know, matter of fact, I think in the Bible, even God says the blind can see when the people that can see can't see, because they can't see the reality of how good God really is to every single person. So I just thank God for Your presence, Your blessings on everyone and those at the Eastern Colorado service, God, that You're touching their minds and bodies and healing them in Your name, Jesus. But we do come this morning and praise and worship, glorify You and honor You and exalt You. Oh, yeah. It just comes from the heart. It's easy just to say words, but let it flow out of the innermost part of our being, from our heart to You, God, that we do really praise and worship You. We really do, from the depths of our heart. It's just beyond words to express the love we have for You, God. We thank You that You're in our midst today. Thank You that Your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, Father God, You're here with us. You live inside of us. We don't have to ask for Your presence. You are here before we got here because You're in us. You're with us wherever we go. We thank You for this day. Praise You and worship You. I just thank You that You got plans for today to just encourage us, build us up, and thank You for, oh, wow. You know, I was just thinking, God, just the other day at the cross, at the crucifixion, You took everything up on Yourself. You took everything and bore it. You took our pains and our sufferings and our sorrows, everything You put on yourself. So in our inheritance, it's been restored like it was in the Garden of Eden. It's restored back to us, health, meeting all our needs, being with us in all our ways. We just thank you for that today, that we can look to you because you're with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. We just praise you for your presence and what you have to say to us. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher in your precious name, Jesus, according to the Father's love, that you have a message for us today to encourage us as we continue our journey on earth until we arrive with you one day in heaven. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you've already blessed us. You've already healed us. You've already met all our needs. Now we just, by faith in your name, Jesus, receive the inheritance that you've already given us. We thank you for that. Your precious name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
not the person you think you are. Though the outer man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed day by day. There's your answer. Why? The inner man is being renewed day by day. Though the outer man is perishing, the outer man, the worldly man, is perishing day by day. But the inner man, God is renewing every day, the new man, the inner man. Every day He's renewing. Today we're being renewed. Today we are being renewed. Tomorrow we'll be renewed. The next day we'll be renewed. Do not doubt, but do not be confused. Help us understand. Even today, Lord, as I go on, I don't want it to be me. I definitely don't want to hurt anybody. I just want it to be You. I think You'll bind my strong man. Loose the Spirit of God. Loose Your Spirit. Break open the hearts. Let Your light shine. Let Your light flood. Go to places that say access denied. Break in Jesus' name. And locks come off. Let the locks come off. Let the locks come off. Let the locks come off. Let them. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Beautiful lineup, Connie. I like that Joe Cocker song, right? And you ever watch Joe Cocker, Connie? Yeah, he's he's gone now, but he was quite the individual. Just to give you guys a second. I need a second. I just felt real strong. You know, there's something you got to go with in your spirit. Just feel just now, right? Break that. Break it. The Holy Ghost. Spirit of God. Amen. Amen, Phil. All righty. God, I was just reading something today. I guess it's not for today. Because I can't find it. Just thought, this is so good. And then I got busy. Paul's talking about. Well, it's going to be for another day. I need to learn to strain anyway. Isn't it somebody get something from God, but you just want to share it? But you got to know that there's timing. You only seen a glimpse of it. It hasn't been worked out. But anyway, we'll get started on something here today. And at the end, we're going to pray for needs. Specifically, but I was if I can start out to you. I had a kind of going off last week, but Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. He also says, He is the way, the truth, and the life. It is Him. For God so loved the world. So loved the world. Let me say, He loved the world. That's everybody. Every human being has been accounted for. None is called unclean. He told Peter in a vision, don't call unclean what the Lord has cleansed. Everybody. He has made a way. If I can a little bit, let me go, before I go anywhere, to Ezekiel. Probably shouldn't. I don't know why. I just want to go there. I had this mark last week. I'm sorry, guys. I know we're starting off kind of rough here, but That's how this day started here. But it's going to be great before we're done. Right? I mean, I'm sitting there taking for granted today that we're going to leave 9:45, and my wife's ready to go. Bam, man. She's like, 9:30, let's go. Let's go. Caught me off guard, right? Because I was getting lazy, ready to, you know, getting a little later all the time. But I remembered my bag and most stuff. But God, I can't even find that either. Okay. Ezekiel 33, if you want to find your place there a minute. But I was going to start it now, and about a month ago I was working on my tractor, and I found this deal, and it was called Ford 8N Mythbusters. Somebody say Ford 8N Mythbusters. Ford 8N is an old Ford 8N is an old tractor. It came out in the 40s and ended in the early 50s. Well, Mythbuster. Everybody seen like Mythbusters? Mythbusters is a thing we believe, and they're proven to be false. Myths. So I'm not going to talk about that, but in this reading the article there, it had a curious quote that caught my eye, but it's breaking in and says, he goes, "Don't you just hate it when your favorite mechanical tips is poofed into myth status?" In other words, the thing you believed and you hold on to is already just proved to be false. It's now a myth. It's, you know, the thing you hold. And he goes on, it's like the stages of death. And I told you all that stuff to bring you to this one sentence here. The stages of death. Somebody say the stages of death. Because, you know, it says, first is denial, then is anger, then is bargaining, then is depression, and finally comes acceptance. Right? Once again, don't you just hate it when one of your favorite mechanical tips or any kind of tip, let's say, is poofed into myth status? It's like the stages of death. Denial. Now listen to this. Denial, the stages of death. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. When that cherished belief is taken away. And I thought, man, that just, I can relate with that. And and there we are. You know, I used to be saying, man, Lord, I'm excited for man, revival coming here and place filling up and all this kind of stuff. To like, Lord, how long do we got? How long till you take us? why must we be here? Not that it's bad. Do you understand? On earth, when can the new begin? It's a process, and he goes, when your favorite, listen, beliefs. If you know the truth will set you free. We all have things, and I believe that, you know, we all have more power than we know. We have the power to choose to be in agreement with God or disagreement. It's like the Jacob dilemma. Jacob, you know, his new name is Israel. Is that not correct? But Jacob was a conniver, schemer, liar, cheater, all this kind of stuff. That's what Jacob is. Wrestled with God. When I read that, because of my mindset, wow, he actually wrestled with God and got what he wanted. No, he did not get what he wanted. He got touched. He got a limp. He was no longer had any strength of himself. He was blessed of the Lord. We're gods. You have come to the conclusion that you're gods. And And he is by he and he says by the Holy Spirit, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Just say to yourself, be not conformed to this world. Let's say it together. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. What does that mean? You go along with its thinking. It's everything. In other words, it's your everything. The world is your life. The way you see it in the natural, from the time you're born to now, is your worldly life. Do you understand that? From the time you're born to where you're at now is your worldly life. Well, I got saved and born again, and you got a new life, but you still have the old worldly life that you must bring down or bring them subjection. It's why you must overcome. Revelation says, those who overcome. Somebody say, those who overcome. Those who overcome. The only thing you ever going to overcome is this old kingdom called your old life. We're here for a purpose. Are we not? We're here for a purpose, to be an example. In other words, to let the light shine. Let the light shine. Let the light shine. Breathe, Phil. I ran out of breath. I about ready to pass out. Is that bugging you? Like that? Really, Linda? Is that better? No, but does that work for you? Are you good? It's fine. Okay. All right. Let's make sure we got everything good. Is everybody good, comfortable? Need to get another cup of coffee? Or all right, I'm fine. I'm sorry, honey. I know that would irritate me, but not really. Where was I? Let's see. Let me go back. This get me. It's like the stages of death. Death to your old way of thinking. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can say, "Well, Phil, you're just teaching us what you believe," and you could be right in saying that. But I'm not following. I'm not following me. I'm not following you. I'm not following anybody. I'm seeking to know Him. My job is to help you look at Him too, that you know Him, that He dwells in you, Colleen. Right? He dwells in you. And He's pleased with you. I should hear that today to tell you He's pleased with you. I don't know if you needed to hear that. I think I just told you that. He's pleased with you. There you go, work in progress. You know, somebody said, Skip was talking about struggles. We all have struggles, don't we? Getting depressed. You know, none of my, watching some the hockey games and whatever, you know, and it's like, it doesn't go the way I want. It's like, no, I can't get no satisfaction in anything. Work in progress. As long as you have a struggle, then you can, then instead of looking at it as a negative, you say, God's not done with me. But here's the thing. This is my Jacob moment. So let me say, this is my Jacob moment. Instead of blaming everything on everybody else or the devil or whatever, begin to put it on you. In other words, listen, I am fighting with God. Did I say that? No, the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I am fighting with God. I'm holding on to a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I got to admit to you, I've read that scripture about 1,000 times, and I've for 1,000 times, I always said, well, that's everybody else, man. I'm the godly one here. I was at Walmart. What did you say, Linda? We were looking at something, and I don't remember the deal. How did that, that made me laugh. How did that go? Anyway, she goes, oh, I wish I could think. Oh, no, she's picking them out. And I said, honey, man, perfect. Yeah, open. Oh, it was opening the bag. You know the Walmart bags? Can you guys open them up? My fingers are dry. You get them things like, about to have a conniption fit trying to get the vegetable bags opened. And she just says, look at this. Puts her little big fingernail in there, them long fake fingernails. She just does a little tweak, just like that, tweak, and it's open. Oh, you're amazing. And she goes, I'm the anointed one. But then she goes, no, you say how? How'd you say it? Right, she's just waiting for that loving hand to get her out of pride and into. Right? God is good. Skip's talking about it. He's absolutely right. He is good. He is good. We've been blessed with everything, but listen, it is not we've been blessed with every blessing in the earthly realm. Blessed be God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in the earthly realm. He died so we could have everything in the earthly realm. So we just be outlaws that don't listen to him and everything. Just listen, we need healed. The greatest healing is being delivered, restored. We understand to be in Christ. The Bible says over there about hundreds of times, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. How many are like me where you read that, but to be honest, don't quite understand it? Is that fair? Well, explain it to me. Well, I bet you after a few syllables you won't be able to explain it. It's a mystery. It's a mystery in him. But he says, if you know the truth, and he is the truth, if you know the person, not the information. People like to talk about every, that's why gossip is such a terrible thing. We're talking about people when we ain't got a clue. We're just going by our own assumptions, usually of our hearts exposed, our prejudice. A lot of times it's envy, jealousy. It's never good. Right? And it starts division. It lets the enemy in. To speak evil of anybody, except we're going through, like, say somebody does something in here. We want the presence of God. Raise your hand if you say we want the presence of God here. We want God to be, we want him to dwell in here. He won't dwell with flesh. We got a problem. But he says to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. He knows. He knows we're in this meat sack. I know that's kind of because morbid. And he knows why he left us in this earth suit. Oopsie, that sounds better, doesn't it? He knows why he left us in this earth suit. For a reason, for a season. Some of our brethren in Nigeria, we can talk about, my God, man, every little thing. But in Nigeria, have you noticed, they're brethren just like us. He's no respecter of persons. He loves us all. More than we can even only know, because only he can know how he loves us. We're so important to him. So our brethren that are so important are being murdered, butchered, and slaughtered. Is God bad? Absolutely not. But how many would say that I need some understanding? They're being murdered, this and that, but I can't handle anybody saying anything bad about me. Right? Let's call it right. There is no division. There's only one people, a new people of God. What does that mean? That the old... Remember last week where we were talking? Was everybody's here last week? Remember I read that story by that gal about her children? And one child, she had that procedure. I don't know, that sounded bad or whatever, but the child said, I felt, surely he felt no pain. But she had one and she, just loved him with all. Right? All equally. Every life that God, God made. And there'll be a lot. There's a lot of people here that would say that's is false. That's error. That's not true. She's a blah 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 blah. Right? They refuse to entertain, to come with an open mind. That the way God sees death is totally different than the way we see it. I'm sorry, I feel that's where I'm supposed to go. It's sure feeling heavy in here. But think about it. The way he sees it is totally different. The Bible says, you know, all them people that have been slaughtered are sitting on right at the right hand of Jesus. Martyrs. They are the glorious ones. But not by their own doing. For it was God's plan, he says in Revelations, you know, until the full number of your brethren that must die has come complete. Though, do you understand? It's like to gain understanding, we must be ready for it, open to it. Let's read this thing again, if we can. I think it's no accident that I find an article on 48 Ends that give me a spiritual truth. It has nothing to do about anything but tractors. And it goes on to say, don't you hate it when your favorite belief is proofed into myth status? I put belief. It is like the stages of death. He who doesn't take up, take up your cross and follow me. Who looks back is not fit for worthy of the kingdom of God. He who loses, tries to save his life, will lose it. But he who loses it will gain it in the life to come, and even in this life. It's totally yielding to the Lord. At a deep heart level. So it's death. Whoever, right, tries to keep his life. It says, the Bible says, being crucified with Christ. Second Galatians 2:20, I think. It says, Paul says, I've been. He didn't say we. He says, I've been. I believe this is one of coming to a place of asking for it. If I could put that. Coming in agreement with the Lord. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in I. I'm going to tell you right now, if I sat there and thought about it, think about last week, think about everything you did last week. You know, all the jobs, all the tasks, all the decisions you made. How many of them would you say was led by the Spirit? Now, a lot of them is silly, you know. I have to ask them to brush my teeth or whatever. But there's a lot that we are so ingrained that this is how it is. God's been exposing. I've been watching. I've seen where people, where they got their, and even myself, where we have our foot dug in the ground. I'm not moving. Do this. Nope, I will not have that. There you go. Never going to do that. There you go. We must do that. There you go. This is where it's so ingrained that we're asserting our will. What is that? That's our, and our will is protected. It's a stronghold. It's no longer open to the Lord. Because how many get checks? God's put you on a life. Most of the time, you don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. But there's a lot of things where He directs you in life. He's directing your steps. And you feel that tinge. You know what I'm talking about? You make a decision, you feel that tinge, but like, I didn't hear it. It's all good. We're good with God. Or we say, oh, I'm sorry. Well, sometimes sorry has to grow some legs. Dig in, said, no more than asking for repentance. I'm going to walk in repentance. Today, we're going to seek your way, Lord. You guys will get what I'm saying? Today is the day that says up there, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We went up to Tristan's graduation party yesterday, whatever, and it was a good time. You know, Tristan wasn't there, but we're going to pray for him before we're done. The Bible says think the best. I'm not trying to plan anything, whatever. But my nature is like, you can ask Linda, is like, I think I would rather not go. That works for me. Yeah, that really works good for me. Linda used to have to go to everything because Phil would, it don't work for me. She knew that. It's how I am. Let me say, it's how I am. It's just how I am. That's the way I am. Yeah, that's the way you are, but that isn't the way Jesus is. Didn't really care about our old man because the old man is perishing. All the complaining is because the old man is perishing by his design. But it's like the prodigal son and the other son was there the whole time. It's kind of like been to church and ever, but never get a taste of anything. Remember the word today, what was it? Choline, all things are yours. All God's things are yours. God's things aren't, pearls are not for swine. It was funner when we were children, wasn't it? Children in the Lord. We talk out about the good kumbaya stuff. Yeah, because that's where we were. But now, we're kind of at deadlock. He's like saying, okay, better get across that bridge. You better do it in a hurry because it's burning. I want to read that one more time. Yeah. Because the old is perishing, Skip. The old is perishing, but the new is being renewed. But the more mature in God you're becoming inside, there has to be a division. The word divides. The word, not an intellectual word, not me using the word to do it the way I want it to be, but the word Jesus Christ is the word divides between soul and spirit. Didn't Jesus say, when I come, don't think I've come to bring peace? Remember reading that, Colleen? I didn't come to bring peace, but what did he say? I've come to bring division. Divide. It's necessary. He's a master surgeon. He says, I've come to save you. Come to save you. I can slice that cancer dead body right off you. But I won't do it without your agreement. Why ain't God doing something? You won't do it without your agreement. Your agreement what? With Him. With Him, agreeing with Him that you know God's will and walk pleasing Him in all things. You know, I had to keep my place there a minute. We're going to read Ezekiel. Maybe we don't need to. But let's see Ephesians just 1 second. Bless this sink in. I'm opening this like an unskilled person. Have you ever used a Bible, Phil? Really? What kind? All right. Ephesians 3. Let's stop and let's just read one. It says, for this reason. Whew. Now going through, I could read the whole dang book if I don't stop doing it. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Notice it says Christ Jesus. What does Christ Jesus mean? Colleen? Christ is what? The anointed. Christ is the anointed. The anointed Jesus. Linda said, I'm the anointed one. Actually, it was the anointing that opened that up. I mean, it was like just like a little, not fumbling, using it as a tool, just tink. Wham. Christ Jesus. Notice that when they say Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed, or Christ Jesus, the, you're right, anointed Jesus. What is Christ Jesus? I believe Christ, when you see Christ Jesus, that's mean Christ in heaven, ascended on the throne next to the Father. That's Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the man, the Son of Man, walking on the earth. Ascended Christ is the Christ, Christ Jesus. It goes on to say, for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, knowing he's a prisoner. He chose to be a prisoner. The devil forces everybody. How does he do it? Because they chose to sin. They chose to sin. They bought on it, but sin brings you into bondage, does it not? Sin brings you into bondage. The Bible says that only the old man can sin. The new man cannot sin. Battling with sin because you're walking in the old. But we all do, don't we? He says, it's the process. Aren't you glad for mercy? What is mercy for? Because of the state we're in. But he goes on to say, Christ Jesus, he says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and listen to this, on behalf of you Gentiles. Well, I'm a Gentile. I don't know about you, but I'm not confused there. Thank God. On behalf of you Gentiles. But really now, I'm a Jew. How many know in the Spirit I'm a Jew? Those are believers who are Jew. We of the true tribe of Israel. We're the Jews along with the Jewish people. Jewish nationality doesn't make you... Isn't this good? There's one new man. But anyway, speaking to the old, when Paul's going to the... You go to people, you find them in their raw state. We watched this show that... We don't even plan on watching it, but we fell asleep and it rolled over and it was Yukon Gold or something. And there are these two brothers, man, and they were in Canada. They were in Yukon or whatever. And they kind of talk like kind of a, quote, the French Quebec or whatever. But anyway, though, they were running big, heavy equipment and stuff I thought, man, that's a perfect Gentile. But they were over there and just the whole thing is like he was melting gold. And they're digging up gold, right? Their whole thing is like, here's these big guys, man, and whatever. And they got all this, they got access to this $1 million equipment. And they're taking these cans of powdered gold. And the guy's showing them how to smelt them down and make them into bars, purified bars. So they took, little can of gold, poured it, and then they're bringing out this bar. And this big old guy, they got beard down to here, and just white, kind of real white hair and stuff. And he goes, this is good, a bar to put in your pocket. And he says, right here, 1, 2, 3, 4. Here you go, there's $1 million. And just, I don't know the point I'm getting at with it. It's like, do you understand how valuable you are? We're talking about the process. Oh, my God, got the process. The gut, do you understand how valuable you are? He says, listen, I'm going to smelt you. I got to smelt you. I don't want to be smelted. Okay, we'll give you a little bit more time. And maybe you'll come around to my way of thinking. Going to smelt you. I don't want to be smelted. But listen, the impurity has to go because the fire brings that gold bar. Here's $1 million. Just put it right in your pocket. At the time, it was gold. It was like it was burnt dust, little grains, little tiny little things. It'd be so easy to lose. Jesus said, "Listen, guys. Anything I say, go to the Lord. All right, go to the Lord." This old Phil said, "No, go to the Lord. Seek Him." Know the cost. Uncle Lean, it's expensive, isn't it? Know the cost. Know the cost. Count the cost. I was up Marina last week. Probably shouldn't say it around Linda, but I'm going to anyway because she's a joint heir of life with me. And talking with Mike and talking about a person who's also a believer. He's in another body and whatever. But Mike hired him to do a job like gutters and stuff. He said it was cheap, man. It was only $1,200 labor. And then, boy, here come the bite. Here come the enemy. What the heck? Because I know what he's paying me, right? And it's like, you know, I could be. And the Lord is. It was like, you can. Is that what you want to do? You told me you wanted to be my servant. You told me you wanted. Is that what you want to do? Don't. What I've called him to do and I've called you to do are two different things. Is that what you want to do? No, Lord, no. Thank you. You're so good. You supply everything. You know, my God supplies all my needs. He honestly does. He supplies all my needs. I'm learning that he doesn't supply my lusts. My uneducated, stupid demands that would only get me in trouble. All my needs are always met. When I need something, it's there. When I want something, is when I get in trouble. And can anybody relate with me? Rob and Jame are one of the most, they may not think they are, but in my eyes, they're one of the most content people I've ever seen. Like, you know, their state, a lot of things. They're just content. They're just content. I'm like, man, that's impressive. Now, when I do that, you might be challenged, but you can fight through. Don't let everything get you down. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking, listen, not to, this isn't an evangelistic meeting. This isn't to, right? This is time to challenge the meat. That's all we got left, don't we, Colleen, is meat. We either eat the meat or we starve. But know this. Everything he gives us is not for ourselves. It's for the whole. That's the kingdom. Everything he gives us is not for ourselves. It's for the whole. You must come to that place where that's his nature. He gives. He laid down his life for all of us. He died for all of us. That's who he is. That is not who we are. The Bible says, it says in Ephesians, imitate God. How do you know that we need him? He can change us. Only he can change us. He is changing us. What happens when there's release of the Spirit? A release of the Spirit, a release of his life, a release of his life, the breaking of the outer man, the Spirit coming forth. A lot of our church is dead. You know why it's dead? Because it's just soul, 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 soul. Dead, dead. There ain't nothing. The only one can use it is the devil. Doesn't do anything. People get excited. They get in their emotions. But how many emotions are the most deceptive things you can move in? I know that. I know me. I'm like horrible at emotions. But the Spirit gives life. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Lord. So, we're in a process. And it says, I'll just get this again. Here's God working in you, the stages of death. 1 Corinthians, I think it's 4, 2 Corinthians, what it says? Though the life is working in you, the death is working in me. This is the death of what? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many have read that before? Can we find that? Does anyone know where to find that if we need to? The death works in us. The death. What is the death? That is the refining. The refining. That is the sword. Jesus is a two-edged sword. It's for a purpose. You know, when we talk to our kids, Colleen, right? It's going to change. It is changing. And pretty soon, they no longer hear Mom. Mom! Quiet. They hear, I'm not saying that. Well, I don't want to hear that. But they see the Lord. Right? They see the Lord. Because you're a light. That's the difference. You're a light. Why? Because you've come in agreement with Him. So He deals with things. He deals with things different because we all fit in the body. So it says, let's call this the dealing, the stages of death. The Lord's death working in us. It says, the death works in me so the life can work in you. First comes denial. Hear a truth? Well, that ain't what I was taught 27,000 years ago. This is not what I believe. That is denial. No! Then anger. Why? Because you thought about it a little bit. You're angry. And then comes what? Bargaining. It was bargaining. It was like Hezekiah, the one who got diseased in his feet. Remember that? He wanted to make a bargain with God. Let me live. I want to keep living. I'm not done being king. I want some more time. I know that's Phil paraphrase. But what happened? The Lord granted him 10 more years. But what did the Lord say? You got 10 more years? But know this. War, famine, pestilence, this, that. You're going to lose your kids. You'll lose your throne. Everything's going to be gone. And he made the statement, well, at least it ain't going to happen to me. Phil Perry, but that's what he says. It's not going to happen to me. But he lost everything. Why? Because he was focused on him. Bargaining. Depression. God's not to be fooled with. He cannot be manipulated. He loves us too much. It's kind of like walking off the end of a cliff backwards and not knowing you're already off the edge and you're still trying to fight with God. And He's saying, no. Depression. And then what's the final thing? Acceptance. If you watch this, honey, I watched this with your mom. I believe that's what I've seen. I believe I've seen everything in her. We went there one time. We thought she was going to go. She's sure to be gone that day. She lived another month. But we kind of seen that, you know, the Lord wasn't done with her. She couldn't do much. She's kind of out, but it's like you just knew that God was working with her. He was setting her free from things here. Baggage. You got to see, the baggage has to go, guys. But I remember that day I leaned over and she said something and I was just so blessed. She goes, Phil, I want to thank you for taking care of my Linda. That was a blessing to me. Why? Because the whole time it's like, you don't take care of me either. But she said it. Thank you for taking care of my Linda. As far as she's concerned, that's what I did. Wow. Well, thank you, Betty. There is no unimportant lives. There is no unimportant lives. Because you see, the outcome is not for humans to decide. There's no unimportant lives. We were at that, when we got at Tristan's party, Scott and I think a lot of his family, his direct family, was on the front porch, and just said hello, and one of them just jokingly said, "All the important people are inside." And then just came up, "No, everybody's important."
And you said it out loud.
Yeah, there is no non-important people. There's just people that refuse to accept the good news. Refuse to accept the good news. That's all. They make a choice. They were important. That's why if I can be anything to you, if why I'm here, if nobody else ever come to this place, listen. If I please the Lord by loving you, caring for you, then that's more than enough. If you don't change a bit, it's enough. To just hear him say, "Thank you for taking care of my beloved." How can you love 1,000 of them, man? Just, you know, it's being too indifferent. You know? Numbers force everything to become about you then. Right? Now, I don't think we're going to read Ezekiel. I was, but don't think it's necessary right now. Hardly. Okay. 3, right? Really? I got all my... Oh, that's Philippians. No wonder. I'm coming. I'm getting there, guys. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, listen to this, I'm assuming... that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given me for you. Notice that. He says, "I'm a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ Jesus." In other words, Paul says, "I don't get $1,200 for a job. I don't get anything. I'm a prisoner for the Lord. For your sake. For your sake." See, those that are the greatest in the Lord are really out of the least when it comes to people, in people's eyes. Those that the masses love are the ones that you need to watch out for. I'm not saying they're wicked people, but they definitely don't know the Lord to the degree they want you to believe they do. What I'm trying to say is be content where you're at right now. Be content. Let the Lord be content in the state you're at. Quit grumbling, complaining. Learn to be content. Learn to look again and understand, like Skip was saying, just how good God has been to you. Do you want more? I think you don't. Don't want anything that you don't have to go into. But to know Him, just know Him. Know Him. That's all you got to do. Just know Him. That surpasses everything. Know Him. People will want to know people who know Him. Very few. That's why He says it's a narrow road. Very few get on there. The way is wide. Well, I got saved when I was a teenager and this and that. Well, that doesn't mean you're... I don't even have one. Oh, I believe in God. Did everybody get that? I obey God. That's very good. That's I believe, I hear, obey, I do. Those who love Him keep His commandments, which are not... Commandments can be subjective, right? How many of you ever said, we argue with people, says, well, you know, I only do what the Bible says, according to what? My perspective. I only do what the Bible says, according to the way I see it. But the Bible's not a book, it's a person. Well, I should say the Bible isn't a person, but the Word is a person. The Bible is recorded words of a person. The Spirit is in these words. This book won't do anything for you without the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you right now. Without the Holy Spirit, it won't do anything. You'll just be one smart guy. Then you might as well read a Shakespeare or something. Be about the same. But the Spirit changes it all. Why? Because it is hidden. God keeps it hidden. He opens the door. He opens the keys. In John, the two disciples walking with Him, Jesus came in a different form. They did not recognize Him. They knew dang well what Jesus looked like before He was crucified, but they didn't recognize this man. He walked along, and they didn't want Him to leave. He went and had dinner with them, and then it said He opened their minds that they would understand the Scriptures. And the only Scriptures they had then, back then, friends, would be the Old Testament. They were living out the New Testament. Paul got revelation by the grace of God, as God willed. But by what? By first of all, knowing Him. Knowing Him. All right. That's good. That's a big God. It happened to the old man, Connie, that cartoon, to the old nature, that makes a man get legalistic. I will obey God. To a new man, though, I will do as the Spirit leads me, as the Lord leads me, and nothing else. You have to do nothing more. I still remember that day when Colleen was in, it's several years ago now, we were in Home Depot. You weren't even in your area. Maybe you know the whole store. I don't know. And I needed some, like here, if you take off this plate, if you go behind it, there's two little screws. Everybody ever took in a socket off the two little silver screws that go there? I needed extra long ones. I couldn't even explain it right to her. And she's like, I need blah, 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 blah. Okay. She's over there and walks right over and gets a package of these extra long screws. Right? Wasn't even her area. She might have thought nothing of it. That's the Spirit. The Spirit working in you. The Spirit. It's like ballroom dancing. You just this ain't nothing. You're in your gifting, man. This is, man, we're just becoming one. We're becoming one. We're becoming one. I don't have to pray for 4 hours because we just are one. Listen, how many know the danger of prayer? Prayer is good. The Bible says we pray in the Spirit because we don't know how we ought to pray, and He prays in groanings too deep for words. But listen, I've done this many times. A lot of times you'll already know the will of God. I'm going to tell you right now, you already know the will of God. You already know because the Spirit's in you, but you're struggling with it. You want to pray until you get the answer that deep you want to hear. How many of you have that exposed in you? Remember, for example, years ago, we were looking at Rocky and Bobby's house in Country Club. You know, I enjoyed the house and I hated the house. It wasn't our house, it was their house, but I enjoyed it. It was a big house after living in a bedroom out of suitcases. This is pretty cool. But for a year, I ruined the whole experience because all I was worried about, because the house was up for sale. I was always worried about, like, have to go back on the road again, which has happened to us a lot of times in our walk. And one day, we're getting ready for church. We were at the college. And I remember I'm getting ready. I'm going out there. And all of a sudden, I see out the front window, out of my office window, which used to be Molly's bedroom, which is like half the foyer here, you know, or whatever. And there was a car. Guy pulled out, and he was looking down at the pond and looking at the house. And my heart just sunk because, like, here's somebody interested in this house. And I started praying, and I'll be honest with you, I started rebuking that guy. Really? Didn't want to hear from God. I just wanted him gone, man. Just that's called witchcraft, my friends. Went to church. Lisa Ensrose there. I don't even remember there. I'm preaching on something. She's piping up. Comes up and whatever, she says something. Well, you never know. You might lose your house. Or she's not saying that. And I'm like, another dagger in the heart. You know. But when I seen that guy, in my spirit, I already knew it's time. It's just time, Phil. But in my soul, man, this can't be. This cannot be. This cannot be. I'm praying. This cannot be until I got a false answer. But no, it's not going to happen. But it did happen. I knew. But it was a lesson. You already know the will of God. It's coming at peace with it. The Spirit's in you. You understand? You already know it's coming at peace with it. Not led by your soul. Not led by your so-called wisdom that we all have. How many of y'all use that word? Well, I got to have wisdom. In other words, I got to hear the answer I want to hear. We already know. I'm here to tell you today, there's a lot of things you've been fighting with that you already know. It's either yes or no. You already know, and you're not at peace because you don't like the answer. But what you don't know is He's got better things in store for you. You gotta let it go. You got to. Or you don't got to. See, this is the danger. You don't have to ever come in agreement. You don't ever have to. Clock's up. Here's the problem. How many of you ever had financial miracles from the Lord in your life? Yes. They're awesome, aren't they? Your financial miracle was somebody's sacrifice. If they wouldn't have been obedient and sacrificed, you would have kept on suffering. You get the point? Take the religiosity out of it. See, God is bringing us into one. It's a mindedness. It's the thinking of it. It's under the body. Knowing Him. It's like this. To get the answer is not going to come from study. It's going to come from surrender. That's what repentance. My people humble themselves and pray. Just come down and just say, okay. Wipe the slate. It's a mess. That easy. Again. Every day, come for mercy. Every day, come for mercy. Every day, come for mercy. It's like this. You, me, all of us, we see in part what we think the Bible says and what we know it says are two different things. What we think the Bible says and what we know the Bible says are two different things. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. In the spirit, we know the will. The soul is never called to lead. The soul is called to come servant. It must be renewed. It must become the slave. You can't say you believe one thing, but then your life dictates another. This is the truth, but the truth's not working for you. But this is what it is. I don't see it. What can you do? Come real. Right? Come real. Let's read this one more time. I thought, here's the beautiful thing. Once this has worked out in your life, it's going to be easier for somebody else to accept it. Right? They've seen how mama's doing it. See how mama's doing it. They see how mama's doing it. Yeah.
In regards to acceptance, that same time after me dying, that mom was going about a month ahead of time, tell him what happened. Oh, was she hurt? Yeah. She thought she was going to trip. She had finally accepted.
She knew. She had.
She accepted it and was at peace.
And it took her a while to get there. She was a blessing at the nursing home, right? She was a blessing, and we get that, right? The Lord is good. He allows us to be a blessing to others. He allows us to do this. But this is not the true prize. No. It's not the true prize. Preparing you to be with Him. You cannot be with Him. Anyways, I shouldn't say, I mean, as in the state you're at. You're being saved, man. You're being saved. We're being saved. We're being saved. Thankful people. Thankful people are thankful for something, man, right? If you've arrived, you're not thankful for everything. You get lifted up and arrogant. I'm the Mr. Super Pastor, Super Apostle, so blah, blah, or whatever this stuff, you know. And we don't say that, but we just put off this aura. And we start saying crazy stuff. But when you look at your people and family, He saved you too. Bless God. Okay. He put me right here. Put you there for right now, but let's just get in His presence, man. Come, Lord Jesus, do it. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. You know, Skip, remember that thing I was telling you, were talking about them people? Remember I told you the story, Pastor Brian? We were at Rhema conference, and there was a guy, and he was a mentally challenged person. Remember? And Pastor Brian says, he's one of the lucky ones. And I never knew what it was, but you know what? He was free. Yeah, he was challenged. He was like, you could say, man, well, I'm going to just say it, man. You could say he's retarded. People say, you can't say that word. Well, I did. It means you're slowed down. You're retarded like ignition. You're not caught up. You can't function. But you know what? You're one of the free ones. You're one of the free ones. The Lord can get to you real easy. He's moving out. I'm going to throw something out to you because I've seen him with Brian. And I got to be careful, but I've seen it three times. And he was sitting right there, and I just seen him standing out of his body. He was in a suit, but without a tie. He had a Bible, man. And, man, he was just bold, man. He was just had that, just you know, just buff, black suit. So, in my understanding, which is limited, but I just seen right now, there's no way, shape, or form. You can say, well, Brian needs this and that. I'm all for that. That's all great, but I'm going to tell you what. If you can see the work that God's doing, do you not know that Brian may be the one praying for you? The one interceding for presidents? The one standing in the gap? The one battling against principalities and powers? But we cannot see that because we're blind. We can only see the natural. Things are never what they seem. I'm throwing out there. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm just throwing out. It's like being willing to understand that. Just be willing to be willing, right? Come to acceptance. Be willing to understand. Jesus is healer. He's Savior. He's all these things. But only He knows how that works. Benjamin said a deal. It's the truth. And he goes on to this deal. Believers or obeyers? So you keep your part of the covenant, but do we keep ours? In other words, do we know Him? In other words, he says, is He obligated to fulfill your requests? You have to. No, He don't have to do anything. Not if there's nothing but old. That's a warning to us. Not to get religious. It's humility. Just getting real. And getting thankful. Let's spend the week being thankful. Right? Just thankful. Thankful that you're being saved. Being knit together. When you least know it, then you know what? Your thankfulness will become infectious. People will want to know. I know there's gifts and all these kind of things or whatever. Proof's in the pudding, is it not? Proof is in the pudding. Faith is now. It is utter and it's like, I'm going to read this one more time. This is a message to me. That I'm sharing with you. That's all. Should you accept it? Then great. But it's a message to me. This is what He's saying to me. For me to do. You know why I'm to do it for? For your sake. He tells me to love my wife. My wife is lovable. Until she's not. But you know, but He also says that she's the weaker vessel. But only He knows what that means. But He says that she's a joint heir with me with the crown of life, a joint heir. I mean, other than build stupid airplanes or whatever and stuff, she can do everything better than I can. She can't build airplanes. She don't want to. She hates them. But anyway, pray for her. No, don't pray for her for that. But see, here's the point. The Lord's called me to be the head, as He's had over me. He does not hold her accountable. He holds me accountable. Those who don't have a husband or have a wife, they have the beautiful luxury of having the Lord directly. See, when I bring up that relationship, let's visit that right now. Seek the Lord on it. Do you understand that? Disobedience unto Him stops the flow. Stops the flow. Well, no, it stops the flow. God gifted Linda to do what He does because He wants her to do it for a season. I'm not recovering, but my biggest mandate from Him is to love her. You know what that means? I'm going to hear that. I love you, but I don't like you a lot of times because that's because I got to put the hammer down and do what He wants for her protection. I'm just throwing some things at her, right? Learning to do. The old Phil, listen, be honest. I know I'm done, but the old Phil, all he knew how to do was save his own skin. That's all he knew how to do. Save his own skin. Isn't that what we do in the world? Save our own skin. But ladies, is that what we do? Save our own skin. I was working with a gal. I was telling you last week. She's a wonderful sister in the Lord. But she was saying, well, you know, she was her husband. And I know what she said to me. She says, I'll ask your opinion, but I'm not going to do it. I'm a researcher. Okay. But you know what? But if you knew her heart, you know that she's not a malicious person. She's not a finished person. She has a husband that loves her. And what does this do at the end of the day? This is an example to others, isn't it? Me and Linda will never be given a marriage seminar, ever. You can bank on that. I shouldn't say never. Dang it. Well, it's going to be God. But we're going to tell you how to do what not to do then. Right? We found no perfect way of doing anything. Because I remember once, I've shared this before, but we were living in Marino. And man, under pressure. You know, people know what pressure means. It's like it's getting done. Her mom's nuts and everything and whatever we'll be thinking. We're holding on. We're living at her mom's house. We're pastoring the church. Everybody says, what are you doing? Go rent a house. Don't you know, just go rent a house. Go buy one. You can go, just go do it. But the Lord told us, we both had an agreement. No, you stay put. The longer we stayed put, the hotter it got. Well, that ain't the will of God. Jamie was with us. She was just wasn't married to Rob yet. Right? We were in the thick of it. Going there, I would go out walking. Linda, I'm going praying. Get home. Well, did you hear anything? The pressure, huh, Glenn? You get anything, Mr. Head? You're going to lead us out of this thing? Let's go. We were in a desert. One time we were upstairs and it was in the girls' room. We were shouting and yelling, and pretty soon, next thing I know, we were rolling on the ground, hooking it out. There's your marriage seminar for you. Oh, was that okay? I wasn't hitting her, but she was hitting me. Hey, we right? I'm going to tell you now so that don't have the devil ain't got nothing to tell you. You know? Right. But you know, I'm to be honest with you, there's lots of times just compromise. I don't need that pressure today. We'll do it tomorrow, but not today. Compromise till you come to the point that you find out that you're in prison. You're bound. You cannot even fight anymore. Listen, the Lord, I'm not telling you you've got to go home and get and fight with your wife or something, whatever, or your husband. But you get to the place, disobedience will, you'll lose your hearing. Definitely won't have any power. What is the step one? Just humble yourself and repent. Let's start, Lord. Search me. Search my heart. Right now. Listen. The enemy can't have anything on you. Or you can't win. You can't battle for somebody if he's got dirt on you. You've watched ministers that were powerful, and pretty soon they lose their edge and they get funky. And everybody know what I'm talking about? And pretty soon, here comes the scandal. Linda said, the anointed one, but the humbling's coming. Yeah. I'm speaking to mature people. As mature isn't like not to be lifted up like we're something, because we're no different. We're no better than anybody. Nor will we ever be. But we're so blessed. It's worth it. It's worth it. You know? I know. It's scary, isn't it? It's scary. But just come to Him. He'll get you through it. And I'm going to tell you what. A lot of things you think are going to go terrible, they're not. He turns the hearts of the kings. When you please Him, even your enemies will be at peace with you. Right? I had a man tell me once, we were at a long time ago, we was in COC, it was a conference. There was an older couple. I remember where we were, Buzz and Linda, and he looked at me, and they were just like a nice little couple, but you would never think that they would be powerful. They were powerful. And he said to her, that man loves you so much he would disobey God for you. And I'm like, and it was right on the money. See, disobeying God for her is not helping her. Or disobeying God for him is not helping him. Walking with the Lord. See, obedience is not for yourself. It's for the sake of the body. Remember the thing I'm going to shut down? But it's like giving, right? You need $1,000. God tells me to give you $1,000. But I don't got $1,000. But this is hypothetical. But but let's say I do. You need $1,000. You need it now, man. And Lord, he's ready. He's coming. You're the vessel, Phil. You give it to her. And I drag my feet. And I'm like, I'm going to do it, but I can't. I'm going to do it. And you're just like, and then you leave. And you suffer. And you go through consequences. I do too, but I've caused you unnecessary pain that didn't have to be because of my disobedience. See, that's how the body works. Obedience, listen, is at the sake of somebody. The Bible says if we listen, how's it going? We think more of others than we do ourselves. But that's a work of the Lord. He gets us there. He's getting us there, is he not? He's getting us there. It's all him. He does it. You just got to come to agreement. I'm going to read this one last thing. I'm going to close. And where's Glenn? Did you go to the bathroom? We're going to pray for Glenn and then anybody else who needs it. Through the stages of death. This is death to the self. The Bible says put off the old man. And a lot of the old man's, listen, there's a mixture. A lot of our dead Christian beliefs, because I like that. He says, when our doctrines, our wonderful, beautiful doctrines that we so much love, but they don't never produce anything. But we say, it's true, I believe it. But we know it does. It's not true. It's winds. Do not be like children, led by every... We all have it, do we not? God shows. I don't know. I don't know what anybody's dealing with. I just know myself. But he says, the stages of death, the first God deals with it is denial, then anger. Bargaining, depression, and acceptance. I have one last story. When I was Church Alive, Pastor Brian, I didn't bat there. He had a message, and I just got back from a function, an Amway thing, a function. Linda didn't go. She was done going. And whatever. I'm all fired up, and I'm just there for that Sunday. And I'm, you know, dream building, you know, got my this, all this stuff. And you know, and if you've ever been in, Amway business was soap, but they had a support system that was like a, you know, to build you up. I can't even put it in words right now because I forget about it. But it's to get you to go out there, to get you to dream and function. You got to be listening to these tapes. It's a system. It's a manipulation. It's a cult. You believe these things, right? And God, but here's the deal. And God ordains it. And God wants you rich. And God wants this. And God wants that. He for you. For you, for you, for you. And I'm coming here to church, and Pastor Brian come and brought a sermon that just put my Amway business in the dirt and said to let it go, call it dead. I remember that. And I sit there and cried. Then, curse you, Pastor Brian! Then came the anger. Then the bargaining. Lord, okay, let's get rid of this part. Is it good now? Let's get rid of this part. Is it good now? And then come the acceptance. Oh, depression first. Yeah, depression. I didn't take any drugs that allowed pharmakia, allowed the demons to get in me, but thank God. You guys do know that a lot of people pick up stuff they don't want when they get forced on these antidepressant drugs. A little side note. Pharmacy is the Latin word is pharmakia. Have you heard that before? You know what pharmakia was? What it means? It means poison. Yeah, pharmacy's poison. That's why they got all the two snakes and stuff and whatever. The guy who did it in college, man, he was using poison. They would take metals and stuff and whatever and try it on people. They didn't die, you know. If they lived through it, they got better because everything, you know. It's like cancer treatment, man. It's not a treatment. It just poisons your body, kills everything, and hopefully it kills the cancer too without you dying on it. Pharmakia. What is that? It's sorcery. Witchcraft. We have a whole country, man. We believe that we have to have it. It's the only way. It's the only way God can use it. Let me get this. It's the only way God can work. How many know that He takes you where you're at? You're a drug addict, He'll take you right where you're at. But no way, shape, and form is He going to leave you there. You must change. You must be renewed. You have to see things the way God sees. This is how He works. I have faith in God, but we're going to go. No, you don't. Go to Him. Call it for what it is. We can do nothing without Him. He becomes great. He is great, isn't He? Skip, you said it. He is great, didn't you? He is good. He alone is good. There is no mixture. He loves you. Listen, you don't have to take the high calling. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to take the high calling. You don't have to. You get to choose. You get to choose. But it's an eternal choice. I'm not saying it will send you to hell. It's an eternal choice. I pray over you, Colleen, that you are a Psalms 31 woman. Your children will call you blessed in Jesus' name. I've seen that. They're going to see it. Because you are that. You are that. You are that. You know how it was. I'm done.
Last week, you know, as Phil was ministering, and again, it comes back to even this week, you know, you just keep hearing the Holy Spirit, like, you know, we need to do a self-examination. And how many times do we have an ailment or something that seems irregular or not right in our bodies or, you know, just in the natural sense, and we want to figure it out. We need an answer. Is it medication? Is it treatment? Is it this? And I'm not saying these things are wrong. You have to be led by the Spirit. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to trust the Lord. It's black and white. There cannot be that gray area. And A.W. Tozer, I just recently read this and I saved it. But real quick, what do we want to do? We want to get on the internet and Google our symptoms. We need answers. We naturally want to go towards the world's answers, their diagnosis. But this piece that he is, it's just a segment, but the indispensable necessity of spiritual diagnosis. And last week it was like, you know, we need to do a self-examination. But it's a spiritual examination. He goes on to say, again, the title is The Indispensable Necessity of Spiritual Diagnosis. We can say all the right things. We can wear the t-shirts. We can have the label. We can do all these things. But what is our true spiritual diagnosis? So not the fact that the churches are unusually active these days, not what religious people are doing should engage our attention, but why these things are so. The big question is why? And no one seems to have an answer for it. Not only is there no answer, but scarcely is there anyone to ask the question. It just never occurs to us that such a question remains to be asked. Christian people continue to gossip religious shop talk with scarcely as much as a puzzled look. The soundness of current Christianity is assumed by the religious masses, as was the soundness of Judaism when Christ appeared. People know they are seeing certain activity, but just what it means, they do not know, nor have they the faintest idea of where God is or what relation he has towards the whole thing. So what is needed desperately today is prophetic insight. Scholars can interpret the past, but it takes prophets to interpret the present. Learning will enable a man to pass judgment on our yesterdays. Again, learning will enable a man to pass judgment on our yesterdays. But it requires a gift of clear seeing to pass sentence on our own day. 100 years from now, historians will know what was taking place religiously in this year of our Lord. And this was written in 1956. So he references that. But that will be too late for us. We should know right now. And a response to this, an individual said, as long as congregations have their feel-good non-scriptural songs, no offense, Connie, don't get me wrong here, to sing over and over, and as long as the preacher doesn't truly know his scripture himself, although he might fool himself into believing he does, but isn't a man of real study and prayer, then the masses of the congregation are blissfully happy. And that's all that they care about. They don't desire the meat of the word. They don't even desire pure milk of the word. They want the headline to read, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay. Don't worry, be happy. But there will be always the remnant. We are the remnant. When Skip came in today, he was a man of few words. We had a very, very unique conversation. How's this in your life? Oh, it's okay. How's that? And didn't you respond again? It's okay. And how's Michelle? She's okay. Yeah, okay. It's okay. I said, we need a t-shirt that says dot, dot, dot. It's okay. But what we really need is, again, that self-examination spiritually. And, you know, when you think about the church, too, the government has labeled us a non-lowercase n, lowercase o, lowercase n, dash, prophet. Capital P-R-O-P-H-E-T. The government does not want us. This is a sign of just an you know, the enemy's put that out there, that we are non-profit. We need the prophets. We need the prophetic. There has to come a time and a place where the church makes a stand, and it's now. But he's preparing us. And as Colleen, you know, we're all a work in progress. But in God's time, and we may wrestle with him just like Philip and I did. Oh my gosh, and it gets ugly. But God never lets go. He never leaves us. He doesn't leave us abandoned in that room by ourselves. He's with us. He may sit in silence, but know that he hears our cry. He sees our hearts. And so again, it's such a time, and maybe this is just for me, but I don't think so. I think it's for the body. But again, you know, we know that by the Spirit that kept coming up even this morning. We already know. But what are we going to do with that? In dealing with mom stuff, I kind of got into an ugly habit because I wanted to just disconnect from having to make constant decisions and thinking about going and visiting and this and this and this and this. And I got to where, man, I just pour myself into something like, either food or, you know, my TV episodes or whatever. And it was like, it became like this, almost like this false therapeutic thing, because I didn't have to deal. I could just step back. I could cop out, really, is what it was. But God wanted me to step in into his presence. And so, you know, what a learning curve, in a sense, again and again and again. You know, we're always growing. We're always in the process. We're, you know, we can't stop growing. Unless we so choose to. But it's a choice. It's a choice. But we need to lay aside the cares and the concerns of this world. Lay them at His feet. And just seek that peace. His perfect, perfect peace.
To go along with everything this morning, I was reminded of something the Lord was showing me a while ago, and I know I read part of this article to you. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but it was entitled "God Get in My Head Before I Do." Remember me sharing that with you, you know. And so anyway, every morning we must decide if we're going to put on the old Adamic Adam, you know, Adamic masquerade disguise, or put on Christ. Each time we choose to step into Christ, you were talking about being in Christ, we can think about it as even just, you know, getting dressed, you know, stepping into Him. Our minds are renewed a little more, and a new creation outshines the old. I just looked up the definition of renewed, and the first thing that popped up was Amazon's definition of a renewed product. On Amazon, renewed indicates a pre-owned or refurbished product that has been professionally inspected, tested, and cleaned by Amazon-qualified suppliers. These products are guaranteed to be fully functional and are sold in one of four cosmetic conditions: premium, excellent, good, or acceptable. Now, let's see if we can make that definition fit for spiritual renewal. Renewed indicates a pre-owned, we used to own ourselves, or refurbished human that has been professionally inspected, tested, and cleaned by the Holy Spirit. This human is guaranteed to be a fully functioning, spirit-driven individual. Spiritual conditions will be improved and upgraded when daily and even minute-by-minute inspection regimens are met. The premium standard will be manifested at Heaven's Gate. Oh, dear Lord, we plead, get in our heads before we do.
Good. Thank you, Connie.
I am overwhelmed, the longer teach me to listen.
Teach me to